streets, wrapped up like a douche, another runner in the night, blinded by the light, wrapped up like a douche, another runner in
Welcome back to Rosie on the House. We're talking lighting this morning. Hey, Romy, I wanted to just mention, there's been a good amount of response. We've talked about the fact that Rosie on the House Remodeling has a great little survey right on their landing page on our website on rosieonthehouse.com under the remodeling category. They have a kitchen remodel checklist. And this time of year, people are kind of cleaning out their house and, you know, kind of thinking about how things work and how the layouts and stuff. And you have a whole year to get ready for the next holidays instead of waiting until October. So it's just a good way to think through. It's a nice checklist, questions to ask yourself about the functionality of your home, specifically your kitchen, making a list, start with your budget, kind of a target budget, what works well, what would you like to splurge on, what needs improvement, that kind of thing. So Rosie on the House Remodeling has this nice little checklist, and you can give them a call if you'd like a project done.
And it's a great thing to just print out and put in your kitchen. And whether your remodeling project is 3 months down the road, 3 years down the road, however long it is, if there's something that you don't like about your kitchen and you're not sure what it is, it's just a great resource to put on your refrigerator or have it in one of the drawers to just jot notes down. And that way, at the point we're coming to a remodel, all of this thought is already there, and we're not starting from scratch because little things can be missed if we don't think about them in time. And this helps you think ahead, and the more time you put in those thought, all those little details that make a big difference can get captured. So they'll send that to you for free if you'd like a copy. Just email them at rosiewright.com, or like Mom said, you can download it at their partner page on rosieonthehouse.com. We're talking about lighting this hour here at Rosie on the House, and we've got your guest, Alan, has calling in from Dallas. We'll ask him, is this a trade show? Is this a convention? What do you have going on today, David?
Hey, David.
Well, I'm down. How you doing, folks? Glad to have you reach out to us here. I'm down in Dallas at the Dallas International Lighting Show. There's an amazing amount of lighting vendors here. I think their number is up near around 400 today, and seeing some really exciting new things.
Can you give us a preview on one or two of those?
You know, one of the strongest trends continues to be LED fixtures. Utilizing LED products gives manufacturers and designers an opportunity to work around a device that's much smaller than a traditional light bulb. So we're seeing an incredible amount of fixtures that have linear LED products embedded into them. And I've got to say, performance, light output, color rendering has taken some real leaps and bounds over the last year or two. So we're actually getting appreciable light output. We're getting incredible color rendering. And it's giving designers a new lease on life to create some totally different styles and looks for us.
And that you had mentioned, Alan, while all your lights are on, you could see the electric spinning. What do you think the Dallas light show is doing?
Oh, my God. there's a national debt right there. Hey, David, I got one quick question on, have you seen any of the new light fixtures take on any of the smart chip technology, the actual fixtures?
We're definitely seeing more smart chip technology going into fixtures. And that's really a great topic to discuss, Alan, because there's two schools of thought. And there's been some studies done that have shown that while the fixture-driven controls are fantastic, if you're tied to a switch leg and someone who's not engaged in using their phone to operate that device turns off the switch, it limits the access to everyone. So there's a ton of accessibility now to those D-Wave switches and things that will control the light circuit, which can provide a little more reliability and still offer the old functionality. So you're right, Alan. The market's awash and fun things to control lights from just about anywhere you live.
Well, I'm just thinking down the road, years down the road, we would bypass the switch leg altogether and just hotwire all the outlets and then let the fixtures and your smartphone or Google or Alexa do the turning on as you want them.
You're definitely on the front side of that equation. You know, there's actually a couple of builders. I was working with some dealers just last week that were doing the cost equation to see how much they would save by taking out that switch to employ those smart fixtures. So it's going to be here before you know it. I know one of the major home builders was discussing that option just last week.
All right, cool.
So and you're definitely going to see it.
How about new styles? We got any new styles coming down the road? Colors?
Well, that's what, yeah, I mean, unbelievable styles and fixtures, as I said, with all of the miniaturization of the light source, you don't have to build around a light bulb as big as your fist anymore. So we're seeing a lot of really great styles and linear pieces that have incredible output and fans as well. I don't know if you've got a minute to chat, but there's some great advents with ceiling fans.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
As long as it's radio appropriate, there is a manufacturer of a big fan that has a part of a donkey in the name of the fan. You see a lot in big warehouses. As long as it's radio appropriate, educate the listener.
You know, that company's made its first introduction here at the Dallas market, and it's quite interesting. You know, they do provide a great service, and what they've really made a lot of people aware of is that you don't necessarily have to see a ceiling fan spinning to blow your hair off to get air movement. And so we've seen in this market, Minka Air, as an example, introduced their largest fan ever at 110 inches. And these fans provide a perfect performance when we have these open floor concepts, and we aren't necessarily trying to cool ourselves as we sit beneath the product, but we want to mix the air from floor to ceiling to be an equal temperature, have a wonderful breeze that prevents moisture collection, mold growth, all kinds of stagnations that happen inside of our homes. And that's what's been amazing. I have to say that...
Sorry, 110 inches and probably
19.
Half... Yeah, probably half the RPMs of a traditional fan.
A traditional fan, Alan, turning at about 200 on high speed. These fans max out at about 120.
Okay.
What?
Yeah. And it's amazing, and that yet they move five times the volume of air.
Correct. Yeah, good.
So you have just a much more comfortable living environment. You don't have that wind noise turbulence. You've got movement from the great room all the way into the kitchen behind the island without having something right over the island that might cool food. Just a lot of fantastic benefits other than just the good old evaporative cooling effect we used to expect when we put that fan on high and blew us down.
And you know, the development to that technology was probably somebody that was sitting on their couch just staring at that thing thinking, gosh, there's got to be a better way to move the air without blowing this. And it just, it took somebody sitting there looking at it, thinking about it, and then playing with it. And now, you know, these major manufacturers, it's oftentimes not these big manufacturers that get the ideas. They may be able to bring it to market because they have the funds, but it was just somebody somewhere sitting there thinking it through. There's got to be a better way.
All right.
A lot of change in our industry is related to lighting and fans, but it's exciting, and the best information and recommendation we can see is go see an industry professional, visit one of the lighting showrooms in the marketplace. Alan's got a great team. You can look online at so many things, but I can't tell you the stories I hear of people who bought things that won't do what they expected them to do, and it isn't as easy to return sometimes as you think. So visit a professional, get the right advice, and I think you'll find the best success.
That sounds good. Yeah, come see us. And I'm sure that 110-inch fan will just fit in our showroom, too. So
you've got too many lights hanging from the ceiling to spin a fan.
I tell you. We've got quite a few fans.
Let me ask one question before we let David go. You guys have mentioned color a lot, the different colors of lights, and that can sometimes agitate people. We had a color specialist on the program in September that was just going through – you know, how color can make us react, and making sure we don't buy something that we take home, we spend the time to replace 20 fixtures in our living room seating area and turn it all on, sit down and not realize this is really agitating.
You know, there is no question that there's still a lot of discussion about what are all the best colors. Everyone, it seems, has made one singular step. Our traditional incandescent light bulb was always a 2700 degree Kelvin lamp. Most of that has migrated upwards just to 3000 degrees. It provides just a little crisper light output, a little truer color rendering. And so that seems to be where the majority of the market is moved for residential applications. But you're right. I've heard when you get into the sometimes the 4,000 Kelvins and the 5,000s, and some people like even 6 and 7, the light color gets super blue, and that can affect people's psyche a bit. And when everyone talks about natural sunlight, you've always got to be very wary, because they can be talking equator, North America. There's a lot of kind of poor information. So my best advice there is try to see it before you buy it. Try to understand what you're looking at. And that's kind of the same way with LEDs. We offer a lot of what we're calling edge lit LED, where the LEDs are around the periphery of the fixture, never visible. And the light communicates out into just a flat panel that just glows with no glare. And I think that's the real key, is there's a lot of cheap LED out there. They just stick a lens over it and drop some into the top, and you've got glare and glint and waving tones because of the frequencies. So edge lit would be the first thing I would recommend to anybody who's considering any LED products, which hides the LEDs in the edges, and you just see the effect of the light, not the source.
David May, we appreciate you joining us this Saturday morning and taking time out of your trip there in Dallas to share a little bit with the Arizona listeners, and we'll let you get back to it.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Call anytime.
Thanks, David. Appreciate it.
That was an interesting point he made about the natural sunlight. Well, natural to what? Natural to Alaska?
Yeah,
is different than natural to Arizona.
Yeah, Arizona sunlight's a little different.
Well, and that's a north-south difference, but even east-west, like the sun in Arizona, man, you can't look at that without really getting burnt. But in Louisiana, right, you could look at the sun at the morning, night. Right. It's red. It's not even this bright color.
We've got a board in our showroom that has the different Kelvins on it, different colors. So you need to come in and kind of see what's comfortable. And the higher stuff is task oriented. Maybe you need a 4,000 or 5,000 to read something or see a color. You know, the color rendering of whatever you're working on, you may need that higher Kelvin.